This is an essay called Driving Flies. It was published in the Christian Science Monitor, and it's part of the book Quiet People in a Noisy World. When cattle were in the pasture closest to the house, the flies were thickest. Flies and cattle flocked together. But the flies were always there in summer in Whitney Valley, wherever the cattle were. Though I tried to keep doors and windows adequately screened, the nature of our family, based more in love and adventure than in any concept of strict rules, meant that doors were sometimes ajar, and the wrong windows, those without screens, were sometimes open. The old shack of a house that we loved more than any mansion because it sheltered us well and allowed us many freedoms, including painting the doors any color we wished, seemed to leak flies between boards in any case. Flies laid eggs in the exposed insulation in the attic, so our best efforts only slowed down the fly population explosion indoors. We wouldn't poison our environment with insecticides, especially because our daughters then were young and idealistic, and now are much older and still idealistic, and we had no desire to crush that idealism with adult practicality. Though Laura and I had thought for many years that people may, without troubled consciences, kill pests, Juniper and Amanda started our education over again with the innocent observation that the commandment says, "Thou shalt not kill." It does not add qualifications like, "except in the instance of flies." Within certain reasonable guidelines, which we all worked together to establish, we were and still are willing to be educated by our children. What are children for, we reasoned, but to improve the world and all the people inhabiting it? And what better way is there to improve the world than by bringing new, more humane solutions to old problems? Killing flies by methods other than sprays, for example, with swatters or rolled newspapers, was also proscribed. So when the flies became a nuisance by their density in the house, we organized a fly drive, which took all four of us. The house was L-shaped, with the front exit at the end of the L's shorter leg and the rear exit at the end of the longer leg. Simultaneously, two adults started from the confluence of the L and diverged toward the doors, each with one of our largest, heaviest towels, large to cover the maximum area possible, heavy because they shoosh through the air effectively. With spread arms grasping the towels, we waved them forcefully, driving air and flying insects ahead of us. One daughter stood at the door from the back room and shut it after we drove the flies from that area, and one stood at the front door and shut that when most of the flies had flown out of the house. Perhaps the swallows, who lived in nests they built of mud under our eaves, came to recognize the shout, "Okay, everybody, flies are too thick in here. Let's have a fly drive." As the flies buzzed through the front door, Some of them were an easy target for the swallows that provided an alternative to poisons for insect control and gave part of the answer to the question, what are flies for? Sometimes enough flies leaked back past the active towels that a second or even a third drive was called for. That was all right. Each drive took only a few minutes, gave us the opportunity to work together to solve a problem, and showed us there often are simple, environmentally sound solutions to problems we tend to solve in complex, environmentally unsound ways. And afterward, the inside of the house was ours again, except for frogs under the house in the cool habitat where the pipe coming up from the well dripped, and spiders who feasted on some of the flies that strayed and stayed behind the drives, an occasional bat, cats, dogs, and sometimes a raccoon or two who snuck onto the back porch for a snack of cat food, and we were glad to share the house with all of them.